passage of scripture, you know, all through the ages, people have dealt with truth and false, true teaching and false teaching. It has happened all through the scriptures. In fact, we read the Old Testament and we read about the people of Israel. And the people of Israel experienced God. They were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh, and they were delivered by miracles. The plagues that came were miracles from God to show God's presence and to show the reality of God and the knowledge of God and to be a testimony to the people of Egypt that God is God and you should turn and follow him. And the Israelites were miraculously delivered through the Red Sea. You've read the story. Every time we open the Old Testament, we read another account of how God delivered the people of Israel. If you read the Psalms, you read all through how David rehearses all the ways that God delivered his people. And God continues to deliver his people. He delivers you. He is delivering you. God has done such a great work on your behalf. And yet, we and they struggle to keep their attention and their devotion and their obedience upon God. Listen to these words from 2 Kings, and I think they'll be up on the screen for you. We are on slide number 24. So it's way down. Yep, there you go. Okay. And there in the slide, every generation has been tempted to follow false teachers and drifted from God. It just continues. And the next slide says, and this is interesting because God is speaking, and he is speaking through the writer of 2 Kings, and he is describing what happened with the people of Israel. He says, yet the Lord warned Israel. Does the Lord not warn us? Yes. Stay with me. Walk with me. Walk with me and I will bless you. It says the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer saying, turn from your evil ways. These were God's people and they knew the right way and they were choosing the wrong way. And God says to them, experience my mercy. Turn from your evil ways. He says, turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with the law that I commanded your fathers, that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. And just think about how many times, and we'll rehearse a few of them, how many times God sent prophets amongst the people. And the people, though they had seen the hand of God, they were turning away this way and that way. And God sends a prophet and says, return to the Lord your God. And God is saying that to us regularly. Now, we know from the New Testament, Jesus says, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbors yourself, all the commandments are obeyed in that. Because if you love God most, you're not going to gossip about your neighbor. If you love God most, you're not going to steal from your neighbor. If you love God most, you're not going to turn to selfish ways. And God is calling his people to repentance. By the way, Roland and I had a conversation last week when I was preaching and talked about the word forgiveness. And he reminded me, and I appreciate it, you know, that we have been forgiven. Everything's been forgiven. But when we do walk wrong, when we walk in sin, we do repent. And that's what God is calling the people here to do. He says, I sent you my servants and prophets, verse 14, but listen to these words, and I know we've rehearsed them, but they would not listen. They were stubborn as their fathers had been. And look at these words, who did not believe the Lord their God. And that really is the crux of everything. If you believe in the Lord your God, you believe he is who he says he is, and you believe that what he said is valuable to follow, if you believe in him, you will walk with him. And if you get off track with God, the Holy Spirit will convict you, and you will say, Lord, I repent of this disobedience. Restore me to the relationship that we had. I will follow you. And that's what the Israelites said they would do. God reminded them, and they said, we will follow. And that's what God is reminding them here of. Let me finish the rest of it. It says in verse 15, they despised his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers. What a great covenant that was. They despised the covenant, his statutes that he made. They despised his warnings that God had given them. They went after false idols and became false and followed the nations that were around them. And those words speak volumes. How God's people should not be following the nations that are around them. We should not be following the nations and the customs of the people, the ungodliness that's happening around us everywhere we go. And we have to make decisions walking with Christ. Always remembering, of course, that God is at work in us doing that work, but we are walking in obedience. So it says they went after false idols, they became false, they followed the other nations that were around them concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And they abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God. They made for themselves metal images of two calves, and they made an Asherah, and they worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And you just think of how many religions, there are so many and a variety of religions, and how many worship the stars and the sun and rocks and animals, and they worship all these things. And God says, I alone am God. This morning we sang, I exalt you. Does God deserve our complete attention? He does. In verse 17, they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings. They used divination and omens. Those things, the sacrifice of children in religion is not as common, but it still happens. And how many people do we know that look to mediums and omens and divination as a way to determine their life or their future or find out what's coming in their lives? It astounds me that there's still that little building in Diamond Springs that says palm reader, learn your future. You guys, God is listing for us all these ways that the people of Israel were led astray. God does not want you to be led astray. They used divinations and omens and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So that's an Old Testament example. I'd like to give one simple New Testament example from 2 Peter 3, the next chapter we will be working through. In verse 17, it says this, you therefore, beloved, and Peter is talking to the audience of Christians, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. You will be unstable if you are looking somewhere else besides the Lord God for your direction, your teaching, your doctrine, your beliefs. You will be unstable. It says, beware, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Verse 18 is our charge. Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Regularly, you and I have conversations with people around us. We live in a day where tolerance is really championed. Be tolerant of everybody. Let everybody believe what they want to believe. And so we have conversations with people. When people are teaching things at your front door that are not biblical truth, we need to know what we believe and speak the truth. God will lead you. God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you in how you have conversations. There are religions that are built on heresies. I don't want to be a name caller. And really, Rob and I, for years, we talked about that. But when people talk about things, eschatology, things in the future, and they're telling you that there will be forever marriage in heaven, there is not. Jesus spoke very clearly to that truth. We are like the angels. There is neither marriage nor giving in marriage in heaven. It's very clear. I have many Mormon friends. Their teaching and theology is absolutely not from the Bible. Even though they say we are Christians, we believe the Bible, they will tell you, and I say it with hesitation, but I'm telling you, they believe that there is God Father and God Mother, and that they have physical union, and that each person is a spirit baby, and they're looking for a body to come into when a husband and wife conceive. They believe that God and God Father and Mother live on the planet Kolob, and they're continuing to have a physical relationship. I'll tell you, the things, the heresies, the teachings, it doesn't mean they're not lovely people. It doesn't mean we shouldn't love them as our neighbors and be concerned for them. But they're not biblical, orthodox, Christian people. They're lost. We need to pray for them, talk with them, love them. They're our neighbors, our coworkers. They're the people that are around us. When the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and they sound, I have heard how people sit with Jehovah's Witnesses and have Bible studies with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're told what to think by their organization called the Watchtower Society, and they are told how to interpret the Bible. They believe heresy. They believe that Jesus isn't God. They believe that Jesus is Michael the archangel. There are archangels, and Michael is an archangel, but he's not Jesus. And it is so important when Peter says, beware of false teachers. We have to know what we believe. Again, we love those people. When they knock on my door, I think that is an appointment from God. I can love that person. I can talk to that person. I can share with that person. But they are not teaching truth. And I hope I haven't offended you. It goes on and on and on. In fact, it goes on and on. I don't know how many world religions there are. Hundreds. Some that have millions of followers that we don't even know about. God has established his word. He's established his truth. He's established what we believe as Christians. Now, they have every right to believe what they want to believe. But if you're going to have a testimony and a witness in their life, and you're going to share Christian faith with them, your Christian faith is founded upon the Bible. But in verse 18 of 2 Peter 3, it says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. So, what you believe determines your eternity. That's true for you and it's true for everybody else. What you believe determines your eternity. What you believe determines how you live. You believe, and so the fruit of that belief is how you live. And what you believe determines the gospel message, the message that you offer to them. How did I say it up here? Can you go to the next slide for me, brother? What you believe determines the gospel effectiveness to others. It's very important that we let people know the elements of the gospel. And Janet and I were talking about the gospel the other day and the specific truths of the gospel, and we will go through those. Okay? Now, the next slide we've gone over, and there's a lot of information, but false teachers act religious, right? False teachers act religious. I know some very religious people in these other religions. They act religious. But they live disobedient to Christ and what Christ has taught. So destructive heresies are doctrines that may have biblical words, but they are spurious, they are misleading, and they lead to damnation. They lead to being lost. Many times people have said, well, if you sincerely believe what you believe, then you will go to heaven. You can sincerely believe wrong. You need to know the truth of God's word. False teachers deny Christ as master, and that shows in their life and words and action. False teachers, God says, destruction is ahead for them. False teachers use deceiving words. They lead others in the church or in the world in error regarding beliefs and trust and obedience and service to Christ. False teachers may lead, but you'll end up in the wrong destination. We need to know and be confident in what we believe. The Bible clearly teaches true doctrine. And then where are you leading those who follow? In this next little page, it's just, there's an underlined part where it says Paul. See it right in the center, it says Paul. Paul, that's the Apostle Paul, ranks heresies with crimes and seditions, if you look at Galatians 5. This word also denotes divisions or schisms, dividing things in the church. A heretical person is one who follows his own self-willed questions and who is to be avoided. And so, so be careful, Peter says. All right, this next slide, and this kind of transitions into the positive side of what we believe in our Christian faith. And I just want to say these words. God's word is clear. It's consistent as recorded in, and then there's all these things that are listed up here. God's word is clear and consistent as recorded in the teachings of all scripture of the Old and New Testament. And by the way, it is worthy of a discussion. If you just have questions, if maybe you're reading an Old Testament passage and you're thinking, man, how does that relate? What does that teach us about God? Ask those questions. There are biblical solid answers to all of those scenarios in the Old Testament that seem troubling. Seriously, I would love, call me up. Say, Jim, let's just talk. I'm confused about this passage of scripture, and we can sit down and talk and see how it fits in the big puzzle of God's word and his truth. So God's teaching, it's recorded in God's teaching and all of scripture. It is recorded in the teachings of all the prophets and the historians of the Old Testament. If you were just to read throughout the prophets and the historians, what I mean is the writers who gave the history of Israel, and you read that, you will see the truth of who God is. It is recorded in the teachings of Christ, in the life of Christ in the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will see who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's capable of and what he claims about himself. It's recorded in the teachings of the early church in the book of Acts. Jay has started in his class, and they're going through the book of Acts. If you want a Sunday school class to be part of, that'd be a great place to go, in the green room right over here. They're walking through the book of Acts, and you will see, in fact, it is so clearly delineated in the book of Acts about who God is and what he does and what he can do and how a person is saved and why a person is baptized and what a person would give their life for, as all of the disciples did, the apostles did, gave their life for the truth of the gospel. It's recorded in the teachings of all the apostles, including Paul and Peter and Jude and James and John, etc. All of the epistles that are written teach the truth of God. The teachings and fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy is recorded in the New Testament and in Revelation and in future prophecy to come. Amazing. The Bible is substantiated in history, archaeology, prophecy, the internal testimony, and the evidence in the consistency of the biblical record. Now, that consistency is very important. People say to us, there are inconsistencies in the Bible. There are not. And you can read and you can study and find out how this passage relates to this passage. That's why the Bible says, when you're studying Scripture, you compare Scriptures to Scriptures. That's what we're called to do, okay? Remember, what we're trying to do is establish the fact that there is false teaching and there is true teaching. There is biblical teaching. There is biblical solid truth to build your belief and your life upon, and that's what we want to understand. Now, just look at this Luke 24 passage. We've gone here before. It is so clear. Jesus, again, this is after the resurrection. So Jesus has gone to the cross. He has suffered in your place and in my place. And Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and he's walking on the way to the road to the city called Emmaus. And he comes along behind two disciples, Jeremy and Roland. And he comes behind, and they're brokenhearted because their Savior has just died on the cross. And Jesus walks up behind, and he's kind of like, I don't know, conversation starter or something. And he comes up behind and says, what are you guys talking about? What are you upset about? Right? And then Jesus begins to talk to them. When Jesus answers, I want you to hear what Jesus affirms, okay? Let me read it, and then I'd like to just make a couple comments. Jesus said to them, these, the things that they're talking about, the subjects, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, now what does that include? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay? Everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and all of the rest of them, and the Psalms. Who wrote the Psalms? David, Solomon, Asaph, all the Psalms. Jesus is saying to the disciples, everything that was written about who? About Jesus. Everything that was written about Jesus by Moses, by David, by the prophets, by all of these Old Testament writers, he says, everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understand the Scriptures. We're talking about the book in your hand, the book on your phone, to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, and this is the gospel. This is the gospel message. This is Jesus summing the whole message up. He says, thus it is written that the Christ, that's the second person of the Trinity, who is the Savior, the Redeemer of all mankind, that the Christ should suffer, that's his death on the cross, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And Jesus said to them, you are witnesses of these things. Okay? There are people, Islam says this. Islam says, we believe in Jesus. Do you know that? They believe in Jesus. They don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus. They believe what the Quran says about Jesus. But they say they believe in Jesus. If they believe in Jesus, and if they believe the Bible, they have to believe what he just said. It's all about him. All in the book of Moses, all in the Psalms, all in the prophets. It's all about him. How many people do you hear on talk shows or wherever else, and they say, I believe in Jesus. I like the words that Jesus said. I don't know about the rest of the Bible, they say, but I believe in Jesus. I believe that he was a good teacher. But I'll tell you what, if they say, I believe that Jesus was a good teacher. So when Jesus says these words in Luke chapter 24, and he says, everything in the book of Moses, everything in the prophets, everything in the Psalms, everything in the prophets that speaks about me had to be fulfilled. What is Jesus saying? The whole book is about who? It's about Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. The whole book is leading up to establishing and describing the life of Christ, the work of Christ, the substitutionary death of Christ. So when people say to you, oh, I believe the Jesus part. I like the words that are written in red, they say, in the Bible. I just want you to see the claims of Christ in what we're saying right here. I want you to see the claims of Christ, who he is and what he said. We're distinguishing between false teachers and truth. There is so much in the realm of false teachers and false belief and people's own opinions and people's own conjuring up their imagination of what they believe is in the Bible. I had a question on Friday from a guy who was debating some historic things in the Bible. And I wanted to say, just read it. Just read the Bible. Because I don't know really, but I could kind of tell from his question, he just didn't have a clue. He was just asking a random question that came off of a talk show, and he wanted to know if it was valid or not. He's been led astray. He has no understanding or belief in the Christ of Scripture. So Jesus says all these things. I just want to tell you that when Jesus says these words right here, that's called internal evidence of the Bible. This is Jesus talking about what's in the whole Bible. That's internal evidence, evidence in itself. And Jesus, again, you know, people say we all believe in Jesus. Well, what did he say? What did he claim? So what Christians believe according to the words in Matthew 28? And I just have a few minutes and I'd like to hit a couple of these. So you all know this passage of Scripture. And what I want to do is just kind of blow it up a little bit as we walk through it. We are sent to tell the truth of the biblical gospel. Matthew 28, Jesus says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you till the end of the age, Jesus says. Praise God. So there's our calling, there's our purpose, there's who we are. Go ye therefore into all the world. By the way, go doesn't mean stop. right? Go doesn't mean go, you know, you just kind of put your definition to it. It doesn't mean go when you want to. The actual idea is as you are going, right? You going somewhere today? Yeah, you're going to lunch, you're going home, you're going camping, going hiking. As you go, go therefore and make disciples. As you go, it's just part of your ongoingness. So let's walk through this. So Jesus says, first of all authority, second person of the Trinity is talking. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Christ. He's the second member of the triune God, the Christ, God the Son. He is the authoritative one that all biblical believers, so I know I get a lot of words here, but he's the one in whom all true Christians believe. He's the one that they trust for their salvation. He's the one that they surrender to and obey. It is in him that we have life and purpose, and we have eternal hope. Christ is the master that believers serve. Okay, so all authority has been given to Christ, and he is the Savior. He says, go as you are going in every path of your life. Follow your new master, Christ. So it's like that passage where the Bible is talking about marriage, and it says, leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. In our case, it's leave the world, leave the world system, leave the other beliefs in the world, and cleave to Christ. Because God uses marriage as the illustration of our relationship with him. Go. Therefore. What does the therefore mean? It refers to the fact that we are the chosen. That's a blessing. We're the chosen. We are drawn to God. I can't remember if it's Matthew or Mark. One of, I think it's Matthew 6. Or Mark 6 says, no, I'm wrong together. It's John 6. Says, we are drawn to Christ by the Father. So, therefore, so let's put the whole thing together. He says, I can't put it all together. Because we are chosen and drawn to God because of Christ's substitutionary work on the cross, we have believed and we are saved. And so God has done this work. So when he says, go ye therefore into all the world, go ye therefore, because of all this work that's been done for you in the past, follow him and serve him. And what are we going to do when we do that? He says, go and make disciples. Now, again, the reason that I'm going over this verse, these couple of verses for a second, is to establish who we are, what we believe, and why we do what we do. It distinguishes us from all other religions. What Jesus says in his charge to the disciples distinguishes us from the Islam and from the Mormon and the Jehovah's Witness, from the Hindu, from all others. God the Son said, you're my chosen. Go and make disciples of what? Of all nations, of him, disciples of God. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to have people become good deed doers, though we do good deeds. We're not called to become tolerant and just let everybody go to hell because they believe false teaching. We are called, therefore, because of what God has done, to make disciples for God. Make disciples. So we pray and we preach and we teach and we live. It's that it's like we're discipling along the way. We're making disciples along the way. We're investing in and training. It's our daily purpose, our call to follow Christ in all of those things, and that you see all of our family and children. And then it says, like Jane said, of all nations, every tribe and tongue. And I often think, you know, Roland, you're not going to India today, or, you know, Jeremy, you guys are going to Desolation. Maybe that's your place of call. And Jay's going to be at Marshall Hospital this week, and Dennis is going to be over in River Pines. And he says, go to all nations. And what it seems to play out, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is where you're planted. Where you're planted, those are the nations that you are surrounded by. Go and make disciples. Go and make Christ followers of the people that are out there. And then he says, baptizing them. And I know I'm on borrowed time now, but baptizing them. And that is that we are fully immersed in the identity of Christ. There's the actual baptism, dead to self, rising in newness of life. That's what we're going to do on the 28th of August for Eli and Adria and a few others. If you have not been baptized, you should be baptized. But there is that we are baptized into who Christ is. All this truth that we're talking about, all this solid biblical teaching, we're identified with him. Like we've said before, if you put on the t-shirt of the team you're playing for, you're completely committed to be part of that team. Okay? So we're baptized in the name. And the Bible says there's no other name. There's no other name given on earth wherein you might be saved. There's only one name, in the name, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we're teaching. It says, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. What are we teaching? You know, by the way, Jay's teaching on Acts, and Jack, I'm not sure where you're teaching right now. Are you Samuel still?
No, we're in 1 Kings.
1 Kings, that's perfect. You know what, guys, and ladies Bible study and Awana and our home Bible studies, our life groups, we're teaching the Bible. We're teaching who God is and what he's done and why he came and what he's planned for the future. That's what we're teaching. And I would just encourage you to come and be part of any kind of a Bible study. Wednesday afternoons are going to do BSF starting back up again. Just be in the Word. You know, you think, well, I'm so busy. I just don't have time for that. I don't know where I'd fit it in. And maybe you study on your own, and that's a great thing. But it's a great blessing to be in a group of people and studying the Word of God. Teaching Scripture, the gospel, Christ's commands, to teach, to direct, to admonish, to help them diligently learn to grow. You know, sometimes I see a family, a mother and a father and their children, and none of us know exactly what happens behind closed doors, but you wonder, are they teaching about Jesus? Are they grounding their children and their grandchildren in the Word of God? Are they understanding the gospel? Will those kids be able to discern between false teaching and true teaching when they go to school next door? We teach along the way. I've had parents say, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of let my kids decide on their own, and when they get out on their own, they can decide for themselves. I'm not going to teach them anything about God. I'm just going to let them just kind of be our religious. We're just going to. God says you're losing the greatest opportunities of their life. They need to be grounded when they're children in the truth of God's word. You probably, you know, some of us are parents and grandparents and maybe great-grandparents. We have a grand and important responsibility to be teaching them to observe all that he commanded us. And then he promises, lo, I will be with you always. Let me wrap this up. So in response to heresies, by the way, false teaching and heresies has been going on for millennia. And the early church, now some of you may not really like what I'm going to do right now. That'll stir you up a little bit. You can be critical of me. But the early church decided, because there were heresies, teachings that were not biblical, they said, we're going to write down what we believe so that we can nail it down. Kind of put it in summary. And so they came up with this thing at first called the Old Roman Creed, which became the Apostles' Creed. Now, some of you memorized the Apostles' Creed in your childhood. And here's what they said. It's just really simple. The reason they did it was to combat heresy. They wanted people to have in a succinct way exactly what we believe as followers of Christ. So the Apostles' Creed goes like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Amen? Amen. And in Christ Jesus, his only Son, our Lord. Amen. Who was born from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, who under Pontius Pilate was crucified and buried, and on the third day rose again from the dead. Do you agree with that? That's Bible. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Is that true? Absolutely. And in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Church. In the original version, it said the Holy Catholic Church. It was before the Roman Catholic Church started. The word meant the universal church, the body of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church. Then the Catholics, they used that term as the Roman Catholic Church started. But originally the Apostles' Creed says, we believe in the church. We believe in God's people. We believe in the remission of sins, and we believe in the resurrection of the flesh and in everlasting life. See, back in those old days, they established what they believed, and they had this Apostles' Creed, and many churches say this every Sunday. They just repeat it. Why? Because they want to know exactly what they believe. Secondly, there is the Nicene Creed, and it essentially says the same thing. And you can see the years. By the way, the old Roman Creed, it says 341 AD. That was 341 years after Christ. And today, they've established that date, but the Apostles' Creed was written earlier than that, and it was just found on a letter that came within the church, and that letter that came within the church was quoting the Apostles' Creed. So it's before 341 AD that originally started. The Nicene Creed was similar, and it says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and so on, and it's a little bit longer. So just wrap this up. Christians believe, according to Jesus' words in Matthew 28, you could go 100 places in Scripture to find out what Christians believe. But this was one place that I could just narrow in on and say, Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, and so on. What you believe and why you believe is important. It's important. It's not that we're wishy-washy and so on. So just as kind of a wrap-up, and Reuben, on there is a music video, and you guys already know this song. So we're just going to use this because Kate has already gone off to work. We're going to use this as a closing song, but before we sing, if you can pull it up, if you can find it there, buddy, go ahead and cue it up for us if you would. What we say and what we live and what we sing should be a reflection of what we believe. And we sing a lot of stuff that isn't really what we believe. I would just say be discerning about what we sing, okay? And this song, I'm not sure how to do this. We usually don't sing with a music video, but let's stand and let's sing, and then I'm going to pray, okay? You might just listen to the words if we can do this. By the way, I appreciate these guys back here in the sound booth who are learning and doing a great job. Yes, please go ahead. You'll all know this song. Thank you.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
God, thank you. I am so grateful, Lord, for the truth of your word and the explicitness of your word and the clarity of the gospel. And Lord, give us boldness and courage and lots of Christ love to be able to say to those around us what we believe and why we believe it and the hope that it can give them. Lord, thank you for this church and that we can stand for what the Bible teaches. We love you. Keep us, Lord, passionate about the church, passionate about the gospel, passionate about doing your work till you return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We believe. God bless you.